it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale. Frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So, by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Hey, this is great.
Freedom, yes, freedom, not cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
All right, welcome everybody to Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. I'm Radical Russ Belleville, hanging out with you from beautiful, legal Portland, Oregon. And it's just a couple months away now. 1 month away. We're 5 weeks. Let's say 5 weeks away from being able to walk into any dispensary here in Portland and buy weed legally. Yes, we are literally tomorrow. It'll be 5 weeks away. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes. As of tomorrow, we are 4 weeks away. 5 weeks away. Come on, Russ. Get it together. We are 5 weeks away from anybody of adult age being able to fly into PDX, catch the light rail train, and make your way to one of our estimated close to 100 medical marijuana dispensaries and legally purchase a quarter ounce of marijuana tax-free. That's right, folks, tax-free. Looking forward to that. So come on down. October, November, and December, weed is legal and tax-free in the state of Oregon. Now, you can only buy a quarter ounce of flower. No edibles, no concentrates. You can buy some seeds and seedlings, but that's it. Quarter ounce of flower, seeds, and seedlings. But they will not have any mechanism for tracking that purchase. They're going to be asking, if you're a recreational purchaser, you're not a medical marijuana patient, they're going to be asking for your date of birth. They're going to track that. But they're going to have no way of tracking from one dispensary to the next, or even between shifts at the same dispensary, whether or not you've already bought a quarter ounce. It's just limited to a quarter ounce per purchase. But nothing's limiting you on how many purchases you can make. And remember, in public, you're allowed to carry an ounce, and at home, you can have a half pound. So, if you really wanted to stock up buying tax-free marijuana before the taxes kick in January at 25%, you could go to one dispensary, get your quarter ounce, go to the next dispensary, get your quarter ounce, go to the third dispensary, get your quarter ounce, go to the fourth dispensary, get your quarter ounce, take that ounce back home, then go back out and make seven more trips like that and collect your half pound of tax-free marijuana. Now, I don't know if anybody's actually going to do that, but it's theoretically possible, and I can imagine some people actually doing that. We'll see what the prices are going to be like. It's going to be interesting because we don't know what the supply will be like. Now, October is harvest season. We're likely to get a big flood of outdoor marijuana. But the problem is that a lot of that marijuana is also designated for patients. Well, actually, technically, all that marijuana is patients' marijuana. This is the weird thing about the beginning of our recreational sales. They've got that early sales kicking off in October. But there are no recreational marijuana producers. They won't even apply to be recreational marijuana producers till January. And they won't be licensed until next summer. So every bit of marijuana that's going to get sold to patients, to adult Oregonians, and to adult tourists comes from the six mature plants that each of 71,000 medical marijuana patients are allowed to have grown, either by them or by their grower. So the entire supply is medical marijuana. And the other interesting thing is that under Oregon law, the plants and the medical marijuana are owned by the patient. When that grower's got the six plants, you know, growing in the closet or in the warehouse or the greenhouse or whatever, the grower's just babysitting. Those plants are owned by the patient. The way that those plants and the medicine makes its way from that grower to the dispensary is by the patient filling out this form, granting permission for their excess medical marijuana to be distributed through dispensaries, to be sold at dispensaries, and the grower to be able to make the money from it, right? But that's the patient signing over their ownership stake in that to allow that to happen. And it's supposedly supposed to be for the excess marijuana. That is, from the six plants, a patient's allowed to possess 24 ounces. So anything over the 24 ounces is what's supposed to be going to the dispensaries. Wink. Now, we all know that's not what's happening, that a lot of these growers make a deal with their patient that they'll give them an ounce or two for free, and then all the rest ends up going to dispensaries to make growers rich. So it's going to be an interesting 3 months where it's tax-free, and there's going to be this flood of not just Oregonians, but people from Vancouver, Washington, and tourists from all over coming in to buy up all that medical marijuana.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes. 16 years later, Washington and Colorado legalized it outright and let people sell it from storefronts. And what has been the result?
The generation of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the states and creation of hundreds of new jobs in a growing multi-billion dollar industry?
No. Well, yes, but at what cost?
Let's see. The cost of all that police time and money that's now spent going after real criminals and prisons with enough room to hold them all?
No. Well, yes, but look at what it's done to the people.
You mean that fewer of them are dying of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription-related causes since they've switched to cannabis, and many more are receiving medical benefit from a cheap, non-toxic healing herb?
No. Well, yes, yes, yes to all of that, but... I can smell pot from my backyard, and I can't tell my kids not to do it because it's illegal.
420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your cannabis 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com. Marijuana may be legal in some states, but it is still very difficult to advertise. Legal marijuana states have strict guidelines about where marijuana ads may be placed. 420 Radio provides advertisers a marijuana-related on-demand platform skewed toward older adults that meets Colorado and other legal states' advertising restrictions. Visit 420radio.org/advertise to learn how you can place web ads that are immune to ad block software and audio ads heard live on 420 Radio and stored permanently in the enormously popular Russ Belville Show podcast. 420 Radio is heard by legions of dedicated fans who make up the activist leadership and entrepreneurial base of serious marijuana law reformers. Our audience is older, better educated, and more financially secure than most marijuana-related media can boast. Learn more at 420radio.org/advertise.
Hi, I'm Alex Rogers, producer of the fourth Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, the OMMBC. There have been a lot of recent changes to Oregon cannabis laws. Recreational sales start October 1st, new licensing from the state, and changes to medical marijuana. Are you prepared? Join us at the downtown Portland Hilton September 12th and 13th with the industry's top cannabis experts, political leaders, exhibitors, and nightly networking events. For more information, join us online or give us a call. The OMMBC. Be part of history.
What's the deal? It's 106 KMEL, Daddy Roll alongside Chewy Gomez, my man, My Emotion.
Yeah!
Right now, we about to get in a brand new joint by J-Bug. It's entitled, Let It Play.
Welcome back, everyone. 4:11 in the Pacific time zone. That's J-Bug with Let It Blaze. So we reported yesterday on the petition in the United Kingdom. This is on their parliament.gov site. Gov.uk, I think it is. But it's out there. And they had a petition for legalization of cannabis. And I thought it would be interesting to take a look at this and compare and contrast it with our own government petition system. You remember We the People? Remember that? The Obama administration's online petition site? It originally promised that any petition that got more than 25,000 signatures would get an official government response. And you remember how shocked the media was when time after time after time, the petitions for ending adult marijuana prohibition topped the list. They got 44,000 on one, 46,000 signatures on another, even 83,000 signatures on one of them. And you remember how President Obama laughed off the online audience in response? I don't know what this says about the online audience. Well, our friends across the pond in the United Kingdom have just outdone us. Their nation, with just one-fifth the population of ours, just dropped 205,000 signatures on their petition, make the production, sale, and use of cannabis legal. In fact, the UK government registered over 100,000 signatures within the petition's first 5 days. And not only did they amass far more signatures than we did, but what happens in response to those signatures is far more important. In order to receive just a response from the UK government, a petition needed to reach 25,000 signatures. Six petitions have done so. Just like the original threshold for our petitions, We the People, from the US government, to get a response for them was 25,000 signatures. Now, since 2013, the U.S. raised the threshold for a White House response up to 100,000 signatures, and that's the number, 100,000 signatures, needed in the U.K. to require a formal debate of the issue in Parliament. 25,000 to get a response, 100,000 to require a formal debate of the issue in Parliament. The U.S. has no such equivalent to force a debate in Congress. If we did, can you imagine how much fun that would be? Now, the debate over cannabis legalization awaits in Parliament. The petition's been sitting for 32 days so far. And the Tory-led government has issued a response. Tories in England are the Conservatives, the right wing, the Republicans, right? The Tories have issued a response that the UK independent newspaper characterized as damning. Here's some from the response from the UK government. The latest evidence from the Independent Advisory Council on the misuse of drugs is that the use of cannabis is a significant public health issue. Cannabis can unquestionably cause harm to individuals and society. Legalization of cannabis would not eliminate the crime committed by the illicit trade, nor would it address the harms associated with drug dependence and the misery that this can cause to families. Legalization would also send the wrong message to the vast majority of people who do not take drugs, especially young and vulnerable people with the potential grave risk of increased misuse of drugs. All right, so the same kind of stuff we usually get from governments on this. If we legalize, the black market and crime won't go away. Well, no, criminals will still be criminals. It's just fewer of them will be using marijuana as their crime. and it won't address the harms with drug dependence? Well, sure it will, by destigmatizing drug dependence. What other social ill or personal health failing do we use jails to try to cure? And the wrong message, this is the old thing we've heard in the United States. It's send the wrong message to the young people, except the message the young people seem to be getting is that weed is boring old people's drugs and they stop using it as much. But I got to say, that response from the Tories in the UK was considerably more anti-legalization than the US government's response, kind of a tepid response to our legalization petitions. It was back in 2013, and then drug czar Gil Kerlikowske delivered the response to the petitions, which quoted President Obama's interview with Barbara Walters that had happened a few months before, when Barbara Walters asked him, "Do you think that marijuana should be legalized?" President Obama replied, "Well, I wouldn't go that far. But what I think is that at this point, Washington and Colorado, you've seen the voters speak on this issue. And as it is, the federal government has a lot to do when it comes to criminal prosecutions. It does not make sense from a prioritization point of view for us to focus on recreational drug users in a state that has already said that under state law, that's legal. When you're talking about drug kingpins, folks involved with violence, people who are peddling hard drugs to our kids in our neighborhoods that are devastated, there is no doubt that we need to go after those folks hard. It makes sense for us to look at how we can make sure that our kids are discouraged from using drugs and engaging in substance abuse generally. There is more work we can do on the public health side and the treatment side." That's President Obama responding to our petitions. Now, it's also interesting that in the UK, the only issue that was more popular than legalizing marijuana on the official UK government petition site is a petition calling for the firing of the UK Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt. That petition got over 100,000 signatures on its first day. Apparently, he's not so popular with the doctors and nurses working in their National Health Service. National Health Service. There you go again, UK, outdoing the US again. Anyway, the doctors and nurses have taken to social media to protest his policy proposals for longer working hours. Secretary Hunt has even been pranked by a UK television show that had him followed around town by a man playing a sousaphone. And there you go, UK, outdoing us once again. Can we get sousaphone playing guy to follow Donald Trump around? I would love that. What a very Monty Python-esque way to protest somebody. Well, the cannabis legalization petition got over 100,000, so it will be debated in Parliament. However, it's not exactly a fast track straight to the Commons chamber. That's the full chamber of Parliament that you see on C-SPAN sometimes when they're yelling at each other. It's wonderful political theater. First, though, the petition has to be discussed by an 11-member petitions committee of Parliament. Being that the Tories are the majority government, six out of the 11 members are Tories, so at least one conservative Tory would have to buck the party's hardline response against legalization to form a majority to pass on that petition. To the next committee, which is the backbench business committee, and again, at least one Tory would have to support it for it to move on to the full Commons chamber for a debate. The backbench business committee is what determines which of the many issues need to go before the full Parliament, and, you know, legalization could just be crowded out because there are other more pressing issues to consider. Meanwhile, looking back at the United States, that We the People petition site is still up. And the only petition currently over 200,000 signatures is to extradite to Zimbabwe the dentist who shot Cecil the Lion. And the only ones over 100,000 signatures in the U.S. are one, to recognize the Ku Klux Klan as a domestic terror organization and sic Homeland Security on them. And the other is to prevent Medicare from denying access to prosthetic limbs for amputees. Nothing in there about legalizing marijuana, but, you know, maybe we've just recognized the best petition for legalization of marijuana happens at the state level, and it's called a ballot initiative. And speaking of ballot initiatives, some breaking news here for you. We'll talk more about this after our Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tunes, but Sensible Florida has now organized in the state of Florida A lot of folks from Normal, Florida, Irv Rosenfeld's wife, Bobby Platshorn, all involved with Sensible Florida. You can find them at regulateflorida.com. And they're proposing a marijuana legalization amendment.
Hey, the dope.
We don't have any dope.
And what did I just smoke?
That's right. Florida's got people working on a 2016 constitutional amendment to legalize adult use. This on the heels of People United for Medical Marijuana and United for Care currently working on revising their medical marijuana amendment for 2016. Things are about to get interesting in Florida. Happy 420, everyone!
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, everybody, we made it to the middle of the week. It's the 420 break, and that means we get a visit with Gordon Green from Gordon Green's Music Planet. How you doing, Gordon?
I'm doing great, Russ. How about yourself? It's a beautiful day.
I'm feeling good. It's nice and sunny out here in Portland, but not too hot. Got a nice joint of some fine herb and ready to dig the Irie Wednesday tunes. What's happening in your neck of the woods?
In my neck of the woods, just had a little chocolate chunk from Main Street Shop in Vancouver. And just enjoying the beautiful day.
Yeah.
Ready to do the show tonight. And it's a great day.
Yeah, I love Main Street Marijuana. I went to the coast this weekend and stopped by Main Street Marijuana, and the place was just packed with people trying to get some herb. Busy when you go to?
Well, you know, the system that they have is unusual. When I went, well, I have to say this, Russ. About 9 months ago when I went, I paid the most that I have ever paid in my life for flowers at shop. Or in my life, anywhere in the world, I paid $70 for 2 grams.
Ooh!
And it was a token support thing, and also I was headed to Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I need something at the last minute, so I didn't really have a choice. But their prices have really come down now. nothing more than $20 a gram, and I think the average is about 15.
Yeah.
And there's 100 different choices.
Yeah, and as you move up in the sizes, if you get 7, 14, or 28 grams, the prices are lower. I was able to get an ounce for $2.25 at one point from Main Street.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep. Cherry OG going for 55 a quarter today.
All right, good stuff. And that's with taxes, folks, so it's looking pretty good here in the Pacific Northwest. And remember, folks, tonight at 8 p.m., as part of our regular 8 p.m. music show series every week here on 420 Radio, we got Gordon Green's Music Planet. Gordon dishes up an hour of great world music. And Gordon, what do you have for tonight?
We are staying in Africa, Russ. Last week I did a show that I really enjoyed putting together, which was the second volume of African blues, which is rock and blues music from various countries in Africa. And tonight's show is the artist focus. My people who listen to my show know I do that at the end of each month, where I play music from one artist or group. And tonight is the great musical family legend of Fela Kuti from Nigeria. And he's not only a legend himself, but he has two sons that are also becoming legends. And they're great freedom fighters for justice. All of them have been in jail many times for their beliefs. And it's great music. Some of their songs, Fela would play songs that last 30, 35, 45 minutes in concert. And they're just these long jams of great music. And I hope you check it out.
Yeah, check that out. 8 p.m. tonight. And then again on the weekend nights as part of our 6-hour music jam that starts at 8 p.m. Pacific and runs through 2 in the morning Pacific time. So 3 opportunities to catch the latest Africa-themed episode of Gordon Green's Music Planet. And, you know, Gordon, I've been doing some stories recently for Marijuana Politics on Dacha in Africa, concentrating most on Southern, Western, and Central Africa. It's really interesting learning about their culture. And it turns out that, you know, Africa is second only probably to North America in their cannabis cultivation and use.
Yeah, it's ingrained in their cultures as a sacrament and also as, you know, a recreational substance. But it's true. We also have a lot to give for African strains of cannabis, giving us some great sativas, Durban poison. In Northern Africa, all the great hashish used to come from Morocco and Egypt.
All right, well, let's get to our tune here so everybody can enjoy the 420 break and light up. Hopefully, maybe they're lucky and they've got some of those African strains, some Swazi gold, perhaps. who do we have for our musical break today?
Well, you're going to be moving really quickly. I'm playing a classic tune from the Gypsy Kings. And Gypsy Kings are one of the biggest bands in world music back when world music started to become popular in the United States. And today's song is called Bailame. It means colloquially dance for me or dance with me. And it's a great song. It's a great uppy tune for the day.
All right, let's get to it. This is Gypsy Kings with Bailame. Enjoy.
All right, peace out, Russ.
See you tonight at 8 p.m. for Gordon Green's Music Planet.
Cuando se marea dolores, cuando se quema de amores, cuando se inmala su vela, cuando se inmala dolores, cuando se inmala dolores, cuando se quema dolores, cuando se inmala su vela, cuando se inmala su amores. Baila, 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 me. Que esta rumba está gitana, que yo siempre cantaré, pero no siempre cantaré, pero no siempre cantaré. Cuando se inmala dolores, cuando
se quema la torre, cuando se inmala su vela, cuando se inmala dolore, cuando se inmala dolore, cuando se inmala dolore, cuando se inmala su vela, cuando se inmala dolore. Baila, 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 me, esta rumba taitana, que yo siempre cantaré, pero no siempre cantaré, pero no siempre cantaré. Esta rumba taitana que yo siempre cantaré. Que solo vive enamorarte. Que solo vive enamorarte. Enamoré de esta guitarra.
Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome. You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Fridays at noon Pacific for Potstock Radio, podcasting at potstockradio.com. We are the voice of and for the legal marijuana and hemp financial sector. We interview CEOs and leaders of publicly traded companies related to the American and Canadian cannabis industries. Check our online listings for Potstock Radio with Eric, Rye, and Trace from potstockradio.com. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay, read the Weed Blog today.
Holiday. continually, ever faithful, ever sure. Jah live, children. And there's a natural mystic blowing through the air.
Of course, Robert Nesta Marley. Bob Marley with Natural Mystic live on this Irie Wednesday. You can't get more Irie than that, can you? Makes me think of Jamaica. Oh, the High Times Cannabis Cup is coming to Negril, Jamaica. It's in November. I'll get the exact date here for you. I think it's the 12th through the 14th, 12th through the 15th. High Times Cannabis Cup in Negril, Jamaica, man. And I want to go so badly. High Times, of course, will always welcome me to these events, but it's incumbent upon me to get my ass there. So I'm casting that thought out into the universe. Please, universe, help me get a plane ticket to Negril, Jamaica. And it'd be kind of neat because I'd actually be able to go to Jamaica. Let's see, where am I? Yeah, okay, so to Jamaica, and then from Jamaica, fly to Washington, D.C. for the following week in November, the Drug Policy Alliance National Conference that I'll be covering. So, and then the following weekend begins the High Times Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam, which lasts from November 21st through the 27th. So, man, wouldn't it be wonderful if it all came together to be able to fly from Portland to Jamaica, Jamaica to DC, DC to Amsterdam, and Amsterdam back to Portland? I think that'd be pretty awesome. So we will see what happens. I got some folks working on it, working on sponsorships. And folks, if you've got a cannabis business out there and you're looking to get exposure from coast to coast and internationally, this might be a real good time to sponsor the Russ Belville Show. I've got some irons in the fire with numerous distribution companies, and looks as though the exposure for this show is only going to grow exponentially. And coming up, I am going to be, look, if you were sponsoring my show right now, and I was taking your banner along with me to all the places I would be tabling, starting just next week, I'll be in Tacoma, Washington. The following weekend in Atlanta. The following weekend at the Medical Marijuana Business Conference in Portland. Following weekend, the High Times Cannabis Cup in Portland. The following weekend, the Boston Freedom Rally, Boston, Massachusetts. 2 weeks after that, the Oregon Hemp Convention in Portland. A week after that, the Virginia Normal Convention in Richmond, Virginia. 3 weeks after that, the Northwest Cannabis Classic in Portland. A week after that, the Cannabis Cup Jamaica. A weekend after that, the DPA Conference in Washington, D.C. The weekend of that week, Amsterdam. And then in December, nothing. It looks like I got December off. By then, I'll probably need a month off. So if you're a cannabis business out there and you want to get prime sponsorship on the Russ Belville Show and all the places I end up going and mention on this podcast at the top of the hour, please get in touch with us. You can find out more information at 420radio.org/advertise, or you can always reach me, Radical Russ, on any social media channel. Radical Russ at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, YouTube, SoundCloud. Hell, probably MySpace. I'm not sure. AOL? Definitely not. Anyway, let's get to some marijuana stories here. Great story coming out of Medical Daily on the DNA structure of hemp and marijuana, far more different from one another than previously thought. Ed Kara writing the story on medicaldaily.com. And a new study is out on PLOS-1. This was published today. Canadian researchers unraveling the genetic structure of 81 different marijuana strains and 43 different hemp cultivars, and they found that the differences are much deeper than just the amount of THC in them, and that the advertised ancestry of many commercial strains of marijuana is oftentimes misleading. Now, we all know about the breakdown of cannabis into its three basic species, cannabis sativa, cannabis indica, and cannabis ruderalis, but there are some gaps in the classification. They point out that commercial marijuana strains are not very scientifically validated and very strangely named, and hemp usually gets defined by low THC content and classified into different cultivars as to whether it's a seed crop, a textile crop, and so forth. So the study here was able to compare all these different genetic structures and trace the ancestral lineage of sativa and indica. And in this story, Ed Cara writes, "While hemp cultivars are largely considered to be derived from cannabis sativa, the authors were surprised to find out that nearly all their samples were genetically more related to the cannabis indica species. The genetic differences between hemp and marijuana also accounted for more than simply the level of THC each type of plant could produce, though the authors were quick to note that hemp and marijuana still largely share a common pool of genetic variation." So kind of interesting science news here about industrial hemp being more cannabis indica than cannabis sativa, which is kind of strange when you think of sativas with their thin leaves and taller stalks and all. And that's what you tend to expect in the expression of a hemp plant, tall stalks, thin leaves, but that it, according to the DNA structure, is really more akin to the short, bushy indica, wide-leafed indica plants. That's very fascinating information. We'll bring that up with Dr. Mitch on our Monday cannabis Q&A segment, but very interesting story here. Also goes into defining the relationship between either indica or sativa for commercial strains, and the authors only found a moderate association between reported ancestry of the strain and its actual genetic history. In one particular case, Jamaican lamb's bread, we were just talking Jamaica, weren't we? Jamaican lamb's bread was advertised entirely as a sativa, was found to be nearly genetically identical to an indica strain from Afghanistan. The author of the study says cannabis breeders and growers often indicate the percentage of sativa or indica in a cannabis strain, but they're not very accurate. It's the largest study of its kind. And it talks about trying to set up a reliable classification system for cannabis. I spoke to a gentleman at one of the events I was at recently, I think it was the Cup, in Northern California, who was working with Merigene and Hempgene, G-E-N-E, these companies that are doing that genetic sequencing of the cannabis strains. I don't know how or if they're related to this Canadian research. But it's fascinating to me, and to me, I think we're going to end up, like my generation, is going to be ending up being the last of the generations to refer to plants, flowers, products, as to whether they're indica or sativa. That's kind of been a touchstone for us for a long time in this culture is, you know, you want the sativa for the head high and the energy, and the creativity. And then you want the indica for the body high and the pain relief and the inflammation relief. That's just kind of been a rule of thumb generally. And I think we're going to end up being the last generation that refers to cannabis plants like that. And instead, what will gain more acceptance is kind of a rating system, if you will, based on the terpenoids in the plant and its actual genetic makeup. That's where some of the most interesting research now is in cannabis science is in the terpenoids and the entourage effect of these terpenoids, flavonoids, and the cannabinoids together in certain combinations. And I don't know what kind of system it would work, and truthfully, I don't know enough of the science to probably make an accurate analogy, but I imagine that there'll be certain characteristics that can be tied to certain terpenoids and tied to certain combinations of these things. And maybe this is just funny, the way I think, but I think of it like jelly bellies. You know, like the Jelly Belly jelly beans that have, you know, they got the buttered popcorn flavor, and then they've got the root beer flavor, and they got every damn flavor of Jelly Belly. And when you get them, there's a chart that says, okay, if you find the one that's white with the yellow spotches, that's the buttered popcorn. You find the one that's pink with the white spotches, that's the bubble gum or whatever, right? They got a code, right? And then they actually have a mixing code. They say, all right, if you take two cherries and a banana and a root beer, you get root beer float, right? And you eat them all together, you get root beer float. Can you imagine that someday cannabis selecting might be like that? And I don't know, maybe it's, you know, a green star for limonene terpenoid and a yellow star for pinene, or however it ends up being rated. I don't know. But imagine that the way that you shop for weed in the future might be based on trying to get your closest to match your particular profile. Like, I'm the kind of guy who needs a 4 green, 2 yellow, 6 red strain. You got anything close to that? You know, that wouldn't that be interesting? I really think that's eventually where we end up. And maybe it's not just terpenoids. Maybe there's, you know, the THC content, the THC CBD ratio, the CBG, the CBN, et cetera, et cetera. Right. I mean, I don't know how complex this could get or should get. I think at the consumer level, you know, keep it simple, stupid is a good way to go. So, you know, like I've mentioned before, when it comes to potencies, like on edibles and stuff, that new rule I just mentioned, Marijuana Enforcement Division in Colorado is talking about, to allow the variance on advertised THC potency to be within plus or minus 15%. Are you kidding me? Really? Plus or minus 15%? Imagine you're going to go get gas in your car and the octane is 87. Plus or minus 15%. Well, that's a factor of it being 12 octane lower or 12 octane higher, right? Plus or minus 15% on that. Do the math in my head. You know, here's a, you know, you're going to eat a burger and it's got this many calories, plus or minus 15%. That's not a system for any sort of accurate measurement. If we're going to be that vague about it, then let's go with my system, the salsa system. That in the rating of how high something gets you, it's like salsa. Mild, medium, hot, extra hot, and kick your ass today and tomorrow. Right? Whatever you call that. Fire or El Jefe is what they call it here in Portland, right? Make that your level for edibles, right? Here's a cookie. It's mild, medium, high, extra high, or baked, right? I don't know. Come up with something. But if we're going to go plus or minus 15%, then what's the point of us even having a number on it, right? It should just be like, or hey, I know. Let's use the government's terror code system. Remember that? The color-coded terror alert system? Haven't heard a whole lot about that in a few years, right? But let's use the color-coded terror system. Blue, green, yellow, orange, red. for how powerful the edible or the smoke is. Why not? The TSA isn't using it anymore. And Homeland Security isn't using it anymore anyway, right?
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show.
.420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
As a police officer, I walked a beat, served on the vice squad and SWAT team, and became an expert on drug addiction. I saw firsthand the effects of Ohio's destructive marijuana laws. Simply put, they don't work. Ohio spends over $100 million each year on this failed effort. It's time for marijuana reform, so law enforcement can spend their time cracking down on real criminals and making Ohio a safer place for our families. Vote yes on three.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Back, everyone. That's CI with Rain Into Light on this Irie Wednesday. Remember, 8 p.m. Pacific time, Gordon Green's Music Planet. Get your dose of world music. We're going African blues tonight. African blues at 8 p.m. Expand your mind, expand your consciousness, and it's really good with weed. Gordon Green's Music Planet every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Pacific time. Replays as part of our 6-hour music block. And Gordon's show comes on at midnight Pacific time. So check that out on the weekends. Gordon Green's Music Planet. All right. So let's get into this list that Marijuana Policy Project has presented of their top 50 most influential cannabis consumers. And again, it's not that they're consuming cannabis now. And it's not that they support cannabis consumption. Some of these people are anti-pot. But the point is, are they influential? Can they shape the debate on marijuana legalization? Are they alive? And have they ever smoked marijuana? And do we have reliable confirmation of that, either from themselves or from a reliable third party? So, the bottom of the list, we got Maureen Dowd, columnist from the New York Times, who tripped out on edibles in Denver. Then moving up the list from the bottom, Hugh Hefner, Snoop Dogg, Matthew McConaughey, Jennifer Aniston, Miley Cyrus, Jennifer Lawrence, Rick Steves, the normal board member, as well as host of public television's Rick Steves Europe, who said, quote, "I have used cannabis all over the world," end quote. I can confirm this. I am a reliable third-party witness. I can tell you that Rick Steves has consumed cannabis. 42, Phil Jackson, Robert Downey Jr., Madonna, Susan Sarandon, Matt Damon. And then it's interesting to me because the only politician in that list so far, or actually even like the only non-celebrity in that list is Maureen Dowd, right? Yeah, Phil Jackson's kind of a celebrity, I suppose. And then not till number 37 do you get Al Gore, former vice president. Quote, "The next day, Gore told reporters that he had been an infrequent and rare marijuana smoker, nothing more than a few times at Harvard, once or twice while off duty in Vietnam, and occasionally as a divinity student and journalist in Nashville." And I kind of like that quote, in remembering that Al Gore was a divinity student and he smoked pot while doing it. I like that part. In the chat room, Speed Limit says Madonna claimed on Stern, Howard Stern's show, that she never used weed. The quote they've got for Madonna comes from Vulture, and it says, quote, and it's in reference to her talking about her appearance, her crazed appearance in 1994 on David Letterman's show, says, quote, "My behavior wasn't because I was excited about you. I think it may have had something to do with the joint I smoked before I came on." So we'll see that, how that goes. All right. So moving up, number 36, Glenn Beck. Again, not necessarily people who support legalization, although Glenn Beck, I think, is more on that state's right side. Aaron Sorkin, the screenwriter. Justin Timberlake, Michael Bloomberg, Tom Brokaw, retired newsman. Quote, "What I did was experiment with a little marijuana like a lot of other people and walked away," end quote. Governor Charlie Baker in Massachusetts, again, someone who's not pro-legalization, but at one of the gubernatorial debates, Baker said he had smoked marijuana in the past. Governor John Hickenlooper in Colorado, quote, "As I've already been open about in the past, and as I assume many would expect, I made personal choices when I was younger that I neither support nor condone for others, and certainly wouldn't encourage that through public policy," end quote. You know, what would be refreshing is to have one of these politicos refer to their past marijuana use and not immediately try to distance themselves from it, cover it up, walk it back, excuse it, youthful indiscretions, yada, yada, yada. Wouldn't it be nice to have one that said, yeah, when I was in college, I smoked pot. Had a lot of fun, actually. But I just kind of stopped smoking it once I got a job or got out of college or whatever. And then move on with the discussion, right? It's just frustrating that we're still at this level where the past use of pot in college by these politicos has to be excused, justified, rationalized. We're past that, okay? If someone came up to one of these candidates and said, "Excuse me, did you ever use beer?" Right? What would they say? "Well, yeah, I had a beer just had a beer with the president just a couple months ago," right? there'd be no moral question there, is my point. There's no moral question involved in that, right? Do you like beer? Yeah, I like beer. It's a legal substance, right? Shouldn't we be getting to that point? Especially in the legal states, if we're asking local politicians these questions, where they can answer the question and just be forthright about it and admit that and using marijuana when they were in college wasn't the worst thing in the world and it was actually kind of fun. Just be honest about it. See, the thing is when they have this thought, they have this fear that if they're honest about their pot use and that they enjoyed it, they're somehow giving the wrong message to the kids. Look, the kids know what's going on. The kids are smarter than you think they are, and they know that there's people out there that smoke pot. And if they don't personally smoke pot, they may wonder, why are these people smoking pot? And if every time they hear from someone that's an adult that, "Well, I tried it, and it was awful. It was a terrible thing. I never should have done it, and it was terrible. It was awful, and I regret it." Some of them are going to have the cognitive dissonance of going, "Well, wait a minute. If it's so awful, then why do some people continue to do it?" And maybe that leads to a curiosity that makes them want to know for themselves since they're getting these conflicting messages from society. Just be honest. One of the most honest things you can tell a kid is that doing drugs is a lot of fun. Everybody who chooses to do drugs is not doing them because they're thinking, "I want to be an addict. I want my life to be ruined. I want my teeth to rot out," or whatever the thing is. They're doing it because using drugs can be a lot of fun. There's nothing wrong with being honest about that. You can also be honest that driving your car at 120 miles per hour is a lot of fun. You can be honest that shooting an automatic weapon on a range is a lot of fun. You can be honest that having sex, especially without a condom, is a lot of fun. We can be honest about that and then follow that up with the balance between fun and responsibility. Of risk versus reward, and start to teach kids to use critical thinking skills to evaluate these things in neutral risk versus reward terms rather than good versus evil and absolutist prohibitionist type thinking. I digress. Moving up the list. We've got Martha Stewart, Conan O'Brien, number 28, Angelina Jolie, Morgan Freeman, Whoopi Goldberg, Rihanna, Brad Pitt, Ted Turner, Lady Gaga, George Clooney in the top 20, Seth MacFarlane, George W. Bush, Sanjay Gupta, Andrew Cuomo, Rush Limbaugh, Bill Maher, Jon Stewart, George Soros, Bill Gates, and in the top 10, Jay-Z, LeBron James, Katy Perry, Clarence Thomas, Stephen Colbert, John Kerry, Bill Clinton, Oprah Winfrey, the 2016 presidential hopefuls, and number one, President Barack Obama. That's all the time we got. Time flies for when you legalize. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community, but we will not be back on Friday because I will be on a train to Tacoma for the Northwest Cannabis Classic. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.